Take your Bibles, if you will, please, now, and turn to John chapter 21. John chapter 21. We'll be looking at verses 15 through 17. John 21. You're probably very familiar with this passage, no doubt, the Sunday night crowd. But I think there's some things here that we can see tonight that would help us. And the title of the message is Motivate to Participate. Motivate to participate. God's children ought to participate. What motivates us? What is it that really motivates us to participate? John 21, beginning with verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Jesus speaking to him, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again, the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. And then he saith unto him the third time, three times, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? By that time, Peter was like a lot of Baptists. Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? God, I've already told you twice. You're asking me again, do I really, really love you? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Three different times on this one occasion that Jesus asked him if he really loves him. That's a good question for us to ask ourselves every once in a while, isn't it? We've sung a lot about him tonight, talked about him. And I think that this crowd loves the Lord Jesus Christ. But we need to search our hearts sometimes. I believe it'd be good to find out what motivates us to serve the Lord and why we do that. And sometimes when we do that, what gets saints involved, motivated to participate. General Cromwell, on one occasion, ran out of bullets. They were fighting a battle, fighting the enemy. And so he told his men, we need some more bullets. They said, we don't have any bullets. He said, well, what do we have? And they said, the only thing we have is some silver saints out of the Catholic Church that is nearby. And Cromwell said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to melt the saints. Get them and melt them and put them into circulation. That's what some of us need tonight. Yeah, this is sort of a follow-up of this morning's message. As some of you perhaps are already thinking. We're starting out the year and I hope that we can be motivated. Now how are we motivated? We sort of start at the bottom of the ladder and work our way up to the top of the ladder. And when we get there, that's the greatest degree of motivation. What motivates us? What motivates us in the local church? One thing is the word legislation. Legislation. Now, in our church, we have some things that we expect out of people. We expect that if a man's going to be a deacon, you notice I said a man, amen, not a deaconess, but if a man's going to be a deacon, then that man is interviewed, talked to by myself, maybe the chairman and some others. And we lay out the things that are important, and we say, this is what we expect you to do if you're going to be a deacon. We go to the scriptures. The scriptures lay it out very clearly, just like the requirements for a bishop or an overseer or a pastor. And we say, this is what, if you're going to be a deacon at Worth Baptist Church, you can't social drink, amen, I mean liquor, alcoholic beverages. We can drink all the root beer we want, but we can't social drink. And you know exactly what I'm talking about. And there are to be people that are separated. We have certain requirements that we expect out of our deacons. And so that's just a normal thing that should be done. Now, we also have some requirements for our Sunday school teachers and workers and bus workers. And you say, well, that's legalism. Well, it may be a little bit, but I think it's a good idea to have some requirements out of God's people in a local New Testament church. If not, you have liberalism and chaos, and you might as well hang it up and forget about it. We need to have some standards that are set for God's people, especially in leadership positions. It's very important that that be true in the local church. And so some people knowing that, realizing that, they are motivated because of their position to, if you want to put it that way, legalistically fulfill some of those things that we would expect to participate. Well, I want to tell you that that is the low rung of the ladder. It's not a bad motivation, but it's the bottom rung on the ladder going up that ladder. A second word would be the word obligation. Obligation. How many of you think tonight that when you received Jesus Christ as your Savior and you took His name and you said, I am a Christian, that that had some obligations with it after you got saved? Say amen. Amen. Obviously, there's some obligations. There's some things that God tells us that He expects out of us as His children because we're born again. Every once in a while, I meet some people and I'll say, are you a Christian? Oh, yes. Well, where do you go to church? Well, we don't go. Where's your church membership? Well, I really don't know where it is. Well, have you followed the Lord in believers' baptism? No, I hadn't got around to that yet. And you begin to talk to them, and I want to go to 1 John with them, and where it says, these things I've written unto you that you may know that you have eternal life, not just the fact that you got saved, but the way you live, the life you live, the responsibilities that we have as a Christian should make us realize that we're really born again and we're trying to fulfill those obligations that we have to the Lord. God tells us, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Now, isn't that an obligation? That's what God tells us to do. Be steadfast. Are you being steadfast? Unmovable. Don't change. Always abounding in the work of God. That's something that we should do. And so, obviously, that is an obligation. And God tells us to go out and bring them in. Go out into the highways and the byways and the hedges. Get out of the church house. Get out there where they are. There's some obligations. Bring them in. Why are we obliged to do that? Because God asked us to. And I believe if God asks us to do something, we ought to consider it. Amen? Not only consider it, but obey it and do what He asks us to do. So we have legislation, which is important. We have obligation that God gives us, and there's some things we need to do because of that. And so we go up the ladder another rung. Legislation, obligation. And then there's another motivation we have, and that is appreciation. We appreciate all that God has done for us. Christians should appreciate all that God has done for them. We got a Savior, amen. Thank God we got a Savior. Our sins are under the blood. We're on our way to heaven. We're not going to go to hell. We may fail. We may do a spiritual spread eagle sometimes and a spiritual swan dive and mess up and come out wrong. But thank God we are saved, and we know we're saved, and God has given us the marvelous eternal gift of everlasting life. We should be thankful for that. God has given you a church. You should be thankful for that. We should want to serve God because He's given us a good church where you can come and serve. We like to stress service at our church. There's a lot to be done. I hear people say all the time, well, we thought about joining a church, but you have so many people and you don't have any needs. I want to say, would you come over here just a minute and sit down with me and let's have some tea and let me talk to you about the needs of people serving at Worth Baptist Church. There are many needs out there, and there are many opportunities too. that we should take advantage of to do it. We have a Savior. We have a church. If you have a leader that believes the Word of God and preaches the truth, then somehow, some way, you ought to appreciate that. You have a family, amen? Thank God for your family. Some of you are sitting all together as a family, partial families tonight. We thank God for our families. We appreciate it. God meets all of our needs. He's promised to do that. I am a living example of the fact that God has always met my needs. And you say, well, He won't meet your wants. Well, He will if you live right. He says He'll give you the desires of your heart, not just your needs. And it's not wrong to pray for the desires of your heart, but you got to be right with God before you start praying like that, because then your desires will be right and you'll pray for the right things and God will give you those things. We can pray for the desires of our heart. All of that, God takes care of it. I don't know how you got to church tonight, but I drove in a car. And I sure was glad I wasn't riding a bicycle. I saw a guy pass me on the interstate, cold as it was, on a motorcycle. I said, thank God I'm not on a motorcycle tonight. I like motorcycles and have ridden them on occasion. And I finally got wise enough to sell mine before my wife became a widow. But anyway, I like them. But I'm glad I had a nice warm car to come to church in tonight. I'm glad that I'll have a nice warm home to go back to. You know, we have so many blessings, don't we? You remember the story of the 10 lepers? How many of them came back and thanked God for healing them? How many? One. One. Out of the 10, He healed them from leprosy. Leprosy. That's a dreaded, horrible disease. I saw that in India. Leprosy. Went to a leper colony. People's noses missing. Ears missing. Part of their feet missing. Fingers missing. Leprosy. And God healed 10 of them that had leprosy. And they went on their way, and one of them turned around and came back and said, I want to thank you so much for that. Well, God is good to us. I don't know how you feel about it, but I'm telling you, He's good to me, and I thank Him for it. And I appreciate all that He's done. You know, sometimes moms and dads are appreciated for all that they do until they can't do anything for you anymore. That's sort of sad, isn't it? That happens in our society, that moms and dads do for you until maybe they can't. And then sometimes even grandparents do a whole lot, and the grandkids finally get to the place where they don't even recognize them or realize they're there. They take them for granted. I think that's a very sad thing when that happens. But what is sadder is if we treat God like that. We should be motivated by thankfulness. Thank God for all the blessings that He gives us every day. Zacchaeus had that sense of thanksgiving after he got saved. He said, I want to go back and pay everybody everything that I've stolen from them. And he had stolen a whole lot. He was a tax collector, Jewish tax collector of all things. He was working for Rome and working against his people and took all that money. But when he got saved, he said, you know, I want to give all that back. I'd like to give all that back. I wonder why he felt that way. I think it was conviction, but I think he had a thankful heart and realized he needed to show his love and appreciation for that as he gave all of that back. All of the blessings of God. That's a good reason to serve Him. But that is not the main reason that we should serve God. Another reason we ought to serve Him, be motivated, is anticipation. Anticipation. We anticipate God rewarding us. That's okay. Did you know God does reward you? God will reward you here. He gives us certain things in His Word telling us if we do so and so, He'll reward us. He'll bless that. He'll honor that. And that's good. And someday in heaven, we're going to receive rewards. It's not all going to be negative at the judgment seat of Christ. A lot of it's going to be positive. If you gave a glass of water in the name of Jesus, you're going to reap a reward somehow for that at the judgment seat of Christ. I don't know how all that's going to work, but I know God says, I'm not going to forget it if you've done that. And He'll say, thou hast done good, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into your rewards. You've been faithful over a few things, little things. I'm going to make you ruler over many things. That's a good motivation. Lazy Christians are not motivated by that. Listen, we need to be motivated by the fact that if we serve God, we're going to have certain privileges in the kingdom where Christ is ruling and reigning. And lazy Christians aren't going to have the same privileges. They'll be there, but But there's going to be something about it. And God talks about the greater condemnation for those who have mistreated widows. And he also talks about the rewards and blessings for those who have obeyed him. And he's going to honor them in his kingdom, those who really are yielded to the Lord. And so reward is a good motivation. I'm glad we have that motivation. And sometimes I think about it. And I, of course, just like everybody else, I have choices. You have choices. Everybody in here tonight has choices that we make. We can go right or wrong. We can do the good thing or the bad thing. And we know that if we do the bad thing, we're going to suffer because of that and be chastened by God because of that. But if we do the right thing, God's going to reward us. If we're honest, if we give our money to God like we should, God will bless that. Amen. He'll take it and press it down, good measure, running over. God will give through other people and other means into your bosom. Those are just some of the promises of God. And we anticipate those rewards that he's going to give us. But the greatest thing is what I think Jesus was asking Simon Peter right here. I believe there's the greatest motivation. And he was talking to him about all these other things perhaps, and Simon Peter was thinking about them. And Lord, I think about this and this you've done for me and all of that and how you've blessed me and saved me and all of those things. And maybe that was running through his mind. He said, yeah, Lord, I love you. He said again, do you love me? Yes, yes, Lord, I love you. And he asked him one more time. He said, Peter, do you love me? By the way, how many times did Peter deny him? Three times. How many times did he ask him, do you love me? Three times. I think he's emphasizing that for us. And, of course, it was for him. Peter, do you love me? The greatest motivation that you and I should have tonight for serving God is not all of these other things. As good as they are, and they are good. As wonderful as they are, and they are wonderful. Those are not the things. Some people serve God out of fear. Why, if I don't tithe, I'm going to have a flat tire before I get home. Or my motor's going to blow up. Or my house is going to burn down. Or I might lose my job. And you're exactly right. No, I can't say that. You're motivated out of fear rather than out of love. You know why people ought to give and serve and do right and judge sin in their life and get all that out of the way? It should be because we love the Lord Jesus Christ. If we can visualize him, if we can think about him, the songs tonight just constantly were reminding us of Jesus. What a day that will be when my Savior I shall see. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, brother, that ought to be motivation for us tonight. To straighten up, to live right, to do right, to serve God with all of our heart. I wonder, did Peter really love him? Did Paul really love him? I believe they did. I stood there in the Mamertine prison over in Rome, and I saw this out in the middle of this cylindrical type prison room, what they said was a place. It was a stone about yay so high, and it had some iron brackets of some type around it, all around that, and that's where they would chain the prisoners, and they would stick them down in a chute from upstairs. There was a hole. And they would drop them down in there and leave them in there with the rats and all of the infestation and all of the problems, all of the difficulties there. But the Apostle Paul, I believe, loved Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, all these other things may have motivated him, but I believe there's one thing that made him go, made him be willing to do what he did. And one day they came into that prison, that small room there. And I've described it to you before. Over here in the side was a chute, a door. And they took his head off and shoved his head and the rest of his body, his remains, through that door out to the main river there in Rome. I believe he loved the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't know for sure that this happened to Peter, but I believe it could have and probably did. Church history says that this is probably what happened to Peter. That when Peter became a martyr, he said, do not crucify me. Don't set me on fire. Crucify me like Jesus. I'm not worthy to be crucified like that. And church history tells us that he was crucified upside down. He said, don't crucify me right side up like my Savior. I love him so much, and I'm willing to die for him, and you crucify me upside down, because I am not worthy of his love. Oh, that we could have a heart like that. Amen. That would be the motivation that moves us to serve the Lord. You see, I believe if we love him like Peter loved him, and I believe he did love him, and God had to get him right in his heart and right in his mind and all of that. Jesus did. But when he got it right, he got it right. And I believe he loved him. And I believe that that's why he gave him his best, even though it meant his death as a martyr. I wonder how much you love him tonight, dear friend. Do you love him enough to receive him as your Savior? If you've never been saved, accept him as your Savior. Do you love him tonight enough to be motivated to serve him because of love? These other things are good. Legislation, obligation, anticipation, appreciation. But the greatest of these is love. How much do we love him? And I believe if we love him, we will be motivated on the highest rung of the ladder to participate for the glory of God. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed. If you're here and you're not saved, I would encourage you to come tonight and receive Christ. He loves you. He died for you, my dear friend. He paid your sin debt. And you need to fall in love with him and trust him as your Savior. And then, of course, most of us here tonight are saved. Why are we serving him? Let's get a fresh glimpse of our blessed Savior and make some determinations that will cause us to be motivated to participate in every way we can to serve him and to bring him glory. Father, bless now the preaching of your word. Thank you for the fact that you included this in the scripture and that you did ask Peter, Jesus, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Lord, help us, maybe even tonight, to hear the voice of the Spirit of God asking us the very same question. Do you love me? Do you love me? How much do you love me? Feed my sheep. Do my will. Serve me. Participate because of love. Help us to be willing to be yielded to that love, motivated by it. We'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.